Brother David, John 21 is here.
Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, Feed my sheep. He saith to him unto the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But thou, when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Follow me.
There are many shepherds in the scriptures. I'm sure we know most of them. Abel was mentioned, was a shepherd. Jacob, Moses, David, and perhaps others. And most of them were very faithful, good shepherds. We hear about David. He mentioned the story that when a bear and a lion came and took one of the sheep, he went after the bear and the lion and killed them. He could have said, well, it's one less sheep. I've got many sheep. But I also want to read a verse in Genesis about Jacob. It would show us that the shepherdship is not cheap. Jacob was a good shepherd. He knows what it is to shepherd his sheep. In Genesis chapter 31, he says this to Laban. He was shepherding sheep for Laban and for himself. In chapter 31 and verse 38, he says, This 20 years have I been with thee, the ewes and the she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. And in verse 40, Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. And if that was shepherding the physical sheep, the sheep of God, the shepherd, would suffer. It is not a cheap job. And many would desire to have a title of a shepherd, but unless it is practiced as a shepherd, one is not a shepherd. And of course, if we want to know how costly a shepherdship is, we look at the Lord. And the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. We spoke a lot about love. And I think it is so easy to speak about love. And I could stand up and talk to you about you must love, and I see that you do not love. It's easy for me to do that. But what is love? I think Brother Jake mentioned those verses that the Lord said, "For this cause the Father loves me, for I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one taketh it away from me. I lay it down of myself. But this commandment I have received of my Father." And you notice in this verse there is no mention of the sheep. In the previous verses, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. "But for this cause the Father loves me, because I lay down my life." The sheep are not there. And it was his love. We mentioned that Peter shepherded the flock of God because of his love to the sheep. And the Lord gave his life for the sheep, I would think, because in the first place of his love to the Father. They were the gift of the Father to him. And when we talk about, in order for us to evangelize and to shepherd, we must have love to those whom we evangelize to and to those whom we shepherd. But I think in the first place, it must be love to the Lord. And we know that love to the Lord and love to the brethren are inseparable. You know, if you look at the writings of John, you would find that there is no one without the other. And the proof of one is the other. The proof of our love to the brethren is our love to the Lord. And the proof of our love to the Lord is our love to the brethren. But how do you know that you love the brethren? I mean, love is not tangible that you can measure it. How do you know that you have enough love to the brethren? You may probably like few of them. By the same token, you may not like few of them. But the Apostle John, in his writing, always gives us tests and measures. You can measure yourself as you can measure others. Now you say that you love the brethren. In chapter 5 of 1 John, he says this: "By this we know that we love the children of God." You know, you say you love the children of God. Here is the test. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." You know, you want to know whether you love God, you keep his commandments. You want to know that you love the children of God, the children of God are your brethren. In verse 1, he told us who are these. He said, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth them also that are begotten of him." So, in both cases, evangelizing and shepherding, it requires love. But it requires love in the first place to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God. You know, the Lord puts himself, giving himself in the first place, in the first priority to God. I just read you one verse in John 6, in verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." In other words, he puts it in this most excellent purpose. I wouldn't cast him out because the Father has given him to me. So we would like to put the priority in the Lord's life, in the Lord's devotedness to his love to the Father. And we'd like to do this in our life as well. If we are to shepherd the sheep, the flock, we have to realize that they belong to the Father, they belong to God, and therefore we shepherd them. And again I say, it is not a cheap job. It is not a title that we would like to have. And it costs a lot. It costs a Jacob to lose sleep. How many of us lost sleep over a sheep? Many years ago, I used to go to Edmonton, and a brother was a shepherd. I forgot his name. I think he had 3,000 sheep. I don't know how he kept them.
John Bowley.
John Bowley, yeah. And I went to visit him, and he said, I literally don't sleep, because every night there is someone, one of them giving birth, and the other one is hungry, and the other one is a little one, so I have to go and find a shelter for her. Just imagine, he has 3,000 of them. And this is a very expensive, very tiring job. But he used to do it willingly as of his love to the sheep. And is this what we do? Or we just have a few minutes here and there and we'd like to make give ourselves a title that I'm a shepherd. You know, I'm an older person. I think if we do not give of our time, our efforts, and in the first place our love to the sheep, we cannot be called shepherds.
John 21 begins with 7 disciples fishing at the Tiberias Sea, which is the Galilee Sea, as we read in chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went to over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And this night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. Why? Because the service was directed by the man. Peter said to them, I am going fishing. The Lord Jesus in chapter 15, verse 5 said, without me, you can do nothing, nothing. Here, in verse 15, the Lord will restore Peter. So he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? More than these. This scene reminds us from the scene of chapter 13, when Peter said to the Lord, I will lay down my life for your sake. That is, I love you more than these disciples. Do you love me more than these? We mark carefully, the Lord began not by reproach Peter. Still, no less a word. Still less a word. Nor he said to him, why you denied me? But do you love me? The restoration in the Christian life must be by love. By love. Simon, the son of Jonah. Simon was the original name, or the old name of Peter. And always the old stands contrast with the new name. So he said to him, Simon, Simon. The new name the Lord gave him. At the same sea when he called him in the beginning. Do you love me more than Jesus? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. The word love in Greek, two words. First, agapao means truly life, love. Second, filio means like or friendly feeling. The Lord asked him, do you love me, agapo me? Peter answered, yes, Lord, I feel you, not agapo. Because Peter judged himself. He didn't dare to say the Lord, I agapo you, I love you, truth. I feel you. So the Lord said to him three times. Why? Because the Lord wants to heal the deep wounds in the life of Peter. So he asked him three times, because Peter denied him three times. After that, the Lord said to him, now you can follow me.
It is a very searching question. When the Lord asked Peter, do you love me? And I wish I put my name and you would put your name instead of Peter. And that is the question for everyone. Do you love me? Yes, love, it is not like what has been mentioned. It's not tangible thing, and we cannot measure it. But how did we know the love of God for us? How do we know the love of Christ for us? It is very well-known verses, and we usually repeat it. I don't know if we understand what does it mean really, or we just repeat it in our prayer. Who loved me and gave himself for me. That is love. And we, as brethren, we ought to lay our life for our brethren. That is the way to show love. If I love my brother, I ought to lay my life for him. We were talking about evangelists, and our greatest example, the Lord, who didn't waste any effort in order to go to one soul. I'm ready. Am I ready to do that? The same for shepherdship. The same way in order to show you love. Again, we go to the greatest example, the Lord himself. He chose 12 persons, 12 apostles. They are all different than each other. Did he love them? Did he love them all? Has he excluded anyone of these 12? Or he loved them equally? The one who denied him, did he love him? The one who enjoyed the love and used to be in his bosom and then asked for fire to come to consume a city, did he love them? The one who after so many years, he asked him, show me the Father. And he asked him, that long time, and you don't me, who see me, he saw the Father. They are all different. And if each and every one has his own weakness. But the love of the Lord covered everything. The one he didn't believe and he wants to put his finger in the prints of the wounds, he still loved him. Dear brethren, if we say we love each other, we have to show this. He never excluded Peter, even after denying him. But in the contrary, he restored him 3 times. He paid more attention to the weak and more attention to those who are stumbles. Do we do that? Am I ready to weep, to cry for my brethren? Or I usually cry pitying myself. And sometimes if somebody hurt my dignity, I go and cry. Look at Joseph. He cried 7 times. With all the sufferings he suffered, none of them, not once, he cried pitying himself. But all every time, he cried out of his love to his brothers. Do we do that? I confess many times we cry for ourselves, for our dignity, for our self-interest, but none for our brothers. May God help each and every one in order to show a real love. Yes, again, I repeat the same words. It is easy to talk about love. But it would be much better if we demonstrate our love to our brethren.
It's been partially touched on already. We have the 3 answers of the Lord: feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. Back in the 70s, we raised sheep for a little while, and I learned a little bit about sheep. And one of the things that I did learn was, yes, they need a tremendous amount of care when it comes to lambing time. Sheep are the kind of animals that cannot always help themselves. It's rare when they do. And you can have a lot of problems. Now, when it comes to shepherding, and especially when it comes to elder shepherding a flock, I believe it becomes very important to use that example. And the fact is, we need to bathe the lambs as well as the sheep in prayer. Especially today, there is so much out there which draws particularly the young ones away from the Lord. There's so many things preying on the flock of God today. And I would just encourage the brothers to remember that when it comes to the shepherding care, the young ones in particular need a lot of prayer. They need a lot of care. They need a lot of guidance. And we have to lead by example.
I'd like to speak a little first about the sheep. Reference has been made to Ezekiel 34 a number of times, and about the false shepherds, and about the Lord in his care for the sheep. But if you were to turn, then you might, to Ezekiel 34, he also has a word for the flock. Verse 17, "And as for you, O my flock, saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. As for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet." And so he goes on, "I will judge that," he says. "Therefore, saith the Lord, behold, I, even I, will judge between fat cattle and between lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns," so on. So the sheep, they don't go out without being touched, talked to. And we might see a lot of failure in the shepherds. And there is. There's none of us who would say, "I've done it all perfect." There's only one who did it right. But you know, the sheep are also responsible and will have to give account. And a lot of butting shoulder against shoulder conflicts that there are the sheep. They're not ready to take advice or counsel. They're not ready to be guided. God comes in and deals with them, gives them difficulties to show what happens when the sheep are unruly. And so there's that point I want to mention. Then in John 15, as to our love to the brethren. And we want to just notice an order in which this is presented here. John 15. Verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me," I tie in with what Brother Wagdy said in John 10, "therefore does the Father love me." But now, "as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Now we can understand that the Father loved the Son. And he could say, "therefore, that the Father loved me, because I laid down my life." But then this phrase that's added, "so have I loved you," there was nothing in us that drew forth his love. We didn't give him an incentive by anything we did, rather the opposite. But there we see a divine, sovereign love that flowed out through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father's love could only be channeled through one who was his equal. And thus it came to you and me. Now when I read that, he says, "continue ye in my love." How do I do that? Continue in my love. That is, like in Jude, keep yourselves in the love of God. That is, keep in the consciousness, because God says it, not because I feel it, but because he tells me that I am loved, even by the Lord, even as the Father loved him. And to bask, as it were, in the sunshine of his love, regardless of my condition, regardless of how I react, I will not enjoy it if I don't respond to it. But it doesn't change on his part. How much are you enjoying this thought, as the Father loved the Lord Jesus? That's how much the Lord Jesus loves you and me. I can't explain it, but I believe it. He says it. And then he goes on to say, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So how do we abide in his love? That is, how do we abide in the sense and consciousness of his love? It is by keeping his commandments. Just like a child at home, if he's obedient, he will enjoy the love of the parents. If he isn't, or she isn't, immediately there'll be a little something between, a cloud between. And the child might try to escape the presence of the parent. But here is one keeping by keeping commandments, and he says that your joy may be full. You know, how much joy do we have in the consciousness of this? It's a time of sorrow, suffering, but here's a joy, full joy he speaks of. And when that full joy is there, now comes the commandment. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. Because you're so nice. Or, you know, you mentioned that. Love some of them. No, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. How? As I have loved you. As I have loved you. Have you kept up to that? Have we failed in that? I'm sure we all agree. We failed time and again. Time and again. To remember, he's the brother. Verse was quoted in 1 John. He that begat. If he, then. Pardon? Yes. He that loveth him, yeah, that begat, loves also them that are begotten. So there's that bond that links us. We're not conscious enough in our personal enjoyment, in that relationship that has been established between me and the Lord, his love to me. I can say that personally. Each individual, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But he did that for you too, for each one. Each one. So here we're a company of those whom the Lord has loved. And now, if we're in the enjoyment of that love, that type of love, if I may put it that way, that kind of love is no respecter of persons. It is divine love. It's not natural to our hearts. But the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5, by the Holy Spirit given unto us. And so there we find then that love that is necessary. And greater love, he says, the next verse, hath no man than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now we are there exactly where we began earlier. So here the love is expressed in laying down your life for your friends. But he did more. He laid down his life for his enemies. Such were we. And so this is here, thou, if we come to this 21st chapter, then we notice how beautiful he develops this thought here in the end. And he further develops this when he goes on what we haven't read, but he says, come and dine. Come and dine. He invites them. And so when they come, he invites them. They had already caught. Have you caught nothing? We touched on that. Our brother did. When he went in self-will, or following Peter, they caught nothing. For without me, you can do nothing, her brother pointed out. But then he told them, you cast your nets on that side of the ship. They cast their nets. And they caught so many that they couldn't even bring them to shore. They had to ask, get help to bring them in. But when they bring them in, then he addresses them in a new way. Now he shows them how they can minister to another. And he had a table prepared for them. Come and dine.
The studies have brought me, people have mentioned back to Psalm 23, but I wanted to ask a couple of questions from there. We've been talking about the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd who cares for his own. And I just want us to ask ourselves, are we in the good of the shepherd's care? I shall not want. Do we have that which we can share with somebody else because he's provided for us? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do we have that which we can feed on? Can we share what we're feeding on with those that God has brought into our lives? He leadeth me beside the still waters to drink deeply of his love and of the Spirit's ability to reveal the Lord Jesus to us. Do we share that with others? He restoreth my soul. You know, Peter is asked, after already it says in another gospel, and has appeared unto Simon. So, and he uses the same name, but he has appeared, and it was a private restoration. He restoreth my soul. There's a private restoration. There's also a public restoration where before the others, it wasn't in private here. The others could hear clearly what he was asking him. You know, when you read Luke 22, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when once thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So he knew what it meant to be made right with the Lord. First off, he was made right, I think, in the first time he cast out the nest, he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. At that moment, I believe he came into a living relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now we find at the end of his journey, he's made right again, only this time with restorative grace. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And paths of righteousness, that's the root. Jeremiah says, ask for the old paths, wherein is the way. There's a way God has given to his people, and he's given us to walk in these paths of righteousness. And can we lead others in that path of righteousness to follow along like we've been asking? So I just wanted to bring out these things. He's my shepherd. Do I know him personally? And if so, can I share him with somebody else? I shall not want. Has he made provision for me? Then maybe I can make provision for somebody else. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's provided that upon which I can feed. We can help to feed each other, to build up in our most holy faith. And he leadeth me beside still waters, refreshment, continually refreshing our souls. And he restoreth my soul. I just wanted to bring these things just so we can ask, if what God has done for me through the Lord Jesus, can I do it for my brethren, or even as we had in evangelism, for those on the outside who are looking in and saying, some of them are actually saying, I wish I had a shepherd like that that could take care of my life because I've made a wreck of it and I don't know what to do. And then we can come in and share that the Lord has been on our side and brought us into a right relationship with God through his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection for our justification.
I want to note again and to draw the attention to the positive ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he spoke to the Samaritan woman, and if you picture yourself or myself speaking to her, he didn't give it to her. He didn't put her down. But he spoke to her out of love. And he could speak to her words that lifts her up. Of course, it exercises the conscience first, because it's no grace that overlooks sin. But then after this, he speaks to her about worshiping the Father and things that lifts her spirit up. And here, even when he is restoring Peter, the positive way that he speaks He doesn't say, if you do not love me, do not shepherd my sheep. And I think in many cases we take this order, the negative ministry. And you know, it leaves the hearers all down, and they leave the meeting, you know, hoping that they wouldn't have come. But in John 15, look at the way he spoke to them. And the reason his ministry was uplifting to the hearers, it because it came out of his heart, out of his loving heart. When he spoke to them even about commandments, they were ready to obey this commandment. It came out of his loving heart. It was different, of course, when he spoke to the Pharisees. I mean, he was full of grace and truth. He put everything in the right perspective. When it was a time to reveal the truth to them, woe unto you, Pharisees, it was woe unto them. But when it is time to speak to his disciples and even to the sinners, to draw their heart to him, it was an uplifting ministry. And I wish we could learn this in our ministry. In many cases, it may drive others away. But the gospel is the good news that brings, knowest thou not that the gentleness of God leadeth thee to repentance? It is not the badness of man, but the gentleness of God. And when he does that with Peter, Peter's heart is moved. You know, even after the third time, Peter felt sorry. Three times, it reminded him of the three times that he denied the Lord. Lovest thou me more than these? And he puts his finger on the wound right away. Because Peter said repeatedly, if they all deny you, I will not. And he fell in the same thing he was boasting in. And I think many times we fail in the things that we boast in. We're not any better than Peter, you know. And then the Lord says, do you love me more than these love me? You claim that. And Peter, knowing that he knows everything, he is in the presence of the one who searches the heart and the kidney. Everything is naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And then, as our brother mentioned, the two different words of love, Peter says, yeah, I have compassion to you. That's the word he used. And then the third time, the Lord uses the same word. Do you have compassion to me? And Peter was sorry for what he heard. But the main thing at the end is that the Lord says, follow me. And this is the commandment that anyone would have today. We follow him. In Hebrews 12, looking up unto him. It is all in him. If we would not want to stumble, we have to walk with him. We have to follow him. And previously he told them, what is the cost of following him? If anyone would come unto me, let him deny himself and bear his cross and follow me. Again, it's a costly way. It is not a title that we claim on ourselves that we're following the Lord, but we have to deny ourselves and bear our cross and follow him.
Three times the Lord asked Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Three times Simon replied, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Peter recognized that the Lord could search deep into his heart. And in asking him about his love for him, in the Lord asking Peter about Peter's love for the Lord, Peter knew that there was nothing that he could hide from his Lord. Ordinarily, we would have thought that the Lord would be then explaining to him why it is that he denied him. Although, and we agree that in asking him three times, it covers each of those denials. But I believe that there is something positive that the Lord is aiming at in asking these three questions. And they are seen in the instruction given at the end of Peter's response. In the first case, feed my lambs. Those are the young ones. Those are the children. So he's telling Peter, I have work for you to do with the children, as John speaks of in his first epistle. But then he says, shepherd my sheep. And I want to believe that this is in relation to the young men, the young people. And in the last case, feed my sheep. That is, to the fathers. The apostle Peter is given instruction in relation to shepherd care for the children, for the young men, and for the fathers. God wants each of us to realize that there is work for us to do. But if I use the expression that has been used before, he doesn't dwell on the negative. Having been restored and recognizing all that he is to us and that he knows all things concerning us, we, so to speak, give our weakness to him. And he strengthens us to be useful for him.
Just a small word to the young couples. You are shepherds. You have little sheep. And speaking about the young was mentioned a couple of times. And speaking about Jacob was mentioned. Bagdi brought this up for us. Let's go to Genesis chapter 33. In Genesis chapter 33, there was a big event in the life of Jacob. Esau was coming to him with an army. And Jacob was so scared. In Genesis 33 and verse 12, and he said, that's Esau speaking to Jacob, let us take our journey and let us go, and I will go before thee. And Jacob answered, and he said unto him, that's Jacob, unto Esau, my Lord knows that the children are tender, and that flock and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Here is a shepherd. He knows what happens with the young sheep. And if we read the translation of this, it goes like this. And he said unto him, my Lord knows that the children are weak. The children are weak. If we are dealing with young kids, I'm talking to the young couples, just realize that your children are weak. Don't be too harsh. Be gentle to them. We are to take care of the young sheep with gentleness. And then let's continue reading. And the flocks and herds with young, and it translates, which are nursing. Young husbands, if your wife is nursing, watch for her. She is nursing. She is in a weak situation. Show love and tenderness. And then, and the young are with me. And if men should overdrive, and it reads, should drive them hard. One day, only one day, all the flock will die. And as shepherds,
as shepherds for you young men, and even when you are older, take care of the younger ones, the weaker ones. Be a real shepherd, and the journey is long. Drive slowly. Drive. I'm not saying be loose or just let go anything. Be very specific, but at the same time, drive slowly. It will grow. And this little one, the Lord is still working on him. Don't try to bring him to be a young man in like 5 minutes. No, it will not happen. Take care of the young ones. So this is in the micro vision, if you want to say, in a small vision, in the family standard. It goes to the assembly standard. There are young believers coming, and they will stand and pray something which doesn't make any sense to you. Just be gentle with them. Don't just face them. Take it easy and teach them until they come to a full knowledge, which is hard. Well, they can grow. I can't say full knowledge. They can grow. But deal with them gently because the journey is long. Take it one day at a time and let them grow. And the Lord will bless this in our families and our assemblies until we come to a point where the younger will be shepherds. And the Lord will bless our families and our assemblies.
Just to read again a passage that we read yesterday during the ministry, and I would like to illustrate a little bit for our own edification as a sheep something that we can learn from that passage. In Mark chapter 7, there are many people who were not there here yesterday. Mark chapter 7, from verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syro-Phoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." Verse 30, and when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Here we have the mom dog, if I can say like that, who is seeking for rescue for her baby dog. And, you know, a dog is an animal, and animal has no possibility to have a relation with God. An animal has an instinct. A human has a spirit. So a human is the one that on earth God gave the capacity to have fellowship with God. And this lady went to the Lord to ask for rescue for her daughter. And we see what the Lord said to her, that it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. There is a willingness
for this lady to get a solution in her situation. She did not run from the Lord. She knows that it's with the Lord she will get solution for her situation. And as brothers and sisters, as sheep, we can learn from this attitude of faith. And then she has major barriers. First, she's not a Jew. She's not Israelite. And second, she knows that she's not acceptable. And the third, she's not worthy. So when she went to the Lord said this to her. We can see her answer. She said, "Yes, Lord." She acknowledged what is the truth. What the Lord said to her, that it's not good to take the bread of the children and to give to the little dog. She said, "Yes, Lord." The first attitude we found here, she recognized the truth. And the second, we see that she expressed a word of faith. She expressed to the Lord a word of faith. And we can see through her expression, the Lord can see the faith, and then there is a solution. What I just want to highlight here is that we need, when we are in certain situation, to not run from the Lord. The Lord given us brothers and sisters, and it was mentioned many times that we are keepers of our brothers and sisters. It was mentioned that, okay, so we do need to, with the help of the Lord, to go to the Lord and to trust our brothers that the Lord can use them to help us to get through our situation. It's the situation of our brothers and sisters, and the Lord is always care of us in whatever is the situation.
Beloved brethren, we have now come to the end of study number 6, and this brings us to the end of our formal studies today.